me tell you a story. You're a mom, a doctor. You have some kids. Let's say two, let's say three, for the purpose of this story. You get up every day. You get the kids ready, etc., etc. You go to work. You know, you work maybe in a hospital, maybe in a clinic, office, wherever. Maybe you do shift work. Maybe you're an ER doc. Then you work a shift, the work day, you come home, you're tired, of course. Maybe pick up kids from daycare, school, depending on what your situation is. Maybe you have a partner who picks them up, depending on what your situation is, right? You come home, maybe you have dinner, maybe it's late, you have dinner. The children are jumping all over you, they want to play, but you are tired, cranky. So now you're trying to play with them, but you're cranky. And you know, they're not happy. So they, maybe they go away, or it's like, oh, don't disturb mommy, she's tired. Now you start to think, this job is taking me away from my family. And then on the heels of that follows another thought. But I went to school to be a doctor. I like my job. I like taking care of patients, or maybe being an administrator or being a boss, or whatever it is you do in medicine. There are many things to do. I like my job. And I know people who would give their back teeth for this job. So why do I feel so bad about this job that I like? It's the kids. Oh, and now you're in this weird dilemma. I love my kids. I love my job. What do I do? I'm going to share with you 5 big mistakes that are making you miserable. Mistakes that you are making, actually. Because, you know, external circumstances are what they are, and we can't always change them. But what we can change is the way we think about things, the way we see things, and entertain new perspectives. 5 massive mistakes that physician moms are making that are making you miserable. Number one, you might be parenting out of guilt. Guilt, right? You've heard the phrase mom guilt. And I hate that phrase so much, because nobody ever talks about dad guilt. Why does the word mom guilt even exist as a word? There's no such thing. There shouldn't be such a thing. You're a mom with a job. If you went to medical school or school, and you're working, you are probably never going to be that stay at home, sit down at home parent. So come to terms with that and stop parenting out of guilt. What do I mean by parenting out of guilt? Because you feel guilty, you may overcompensate for certain things with your children. Or you always feel bad about, I don't spend enough time with my kids. But yet, guess what? If you are a stay-at-home mom, you'll probably be wanting to escape those same kids. Like, they're around too much. Remember that this is the human condition. We always want the thing we don't have. So instead of parenting out of guilt and feeling bad every time you have to go to work, do things differently. You have to work. Yes. And you have to parent. Yes. You can do both without feeling guilty. And instead of wallowing in guilty feelings, turn that guilt into a strategy. Yes, it may be the case that you're not spending as much time with your children as you want to. But instead of going, I don't spend time with my children. Oh, it's this job. Say, I don't spend enough. I don't feel I spend enough time with my children. You know what? Let me look on my calendar and pick a spot. And I'm going to take them out for ice cream. I'm going to take them to the park. I'm going to take them out for shopping or to a play area, depending on the ages of your children. So do you see how, instead of wallowing in guilt, taking that moment to create a different thought and a different action will move you closer to that thing that you want of spending more time with your children. Number two, You see your job as taking you away from your kids, and you transmit this energy to them. How does that manifest? Oh, I'm so sorry. Mommy has to go to work. Why are you sorry for doing a job that enables you to take care of them and take them places and, you know, do things for them and buy them things? Because I'm saying something about kids. If you stop working, they will be the first one to say, oh, my parents never gave us anything because they were too poor. Am I right? So instead of transmitting this energy to your kids as your job being the enemy, you know, you let them see the value in what you do. Mommy's a doctor and I have to take care of a lot of sick people, but you know, on Saturday when I come back after my shift, we're going to go to, I don't know, wherever it is you like to go. A restaurant, a park, you know, skiing, whatever, right? So don't transmit that energy to your children of, oh, my job is the thing that's taking, I want to spend all this time with you, but I have to do this job that's going to take me away from you. That is a very disempowered place to parent from, and not a good energy to transmit to your children. Let them know that yes, you love them. However, you work as well. You have this noble job taking care of patients, or, you know, whatever it is you do. There is dignity in labor. It doesn't matter if you're watching this and you happen not to be a doctor, your job is your job, and you know, it's what it is. Number three, because of mom guilt, you don't set boundaries with your children. I have seen children that are just allowed to completely rule the roost at home because their parents feel bad. You still have to set boundaries. Your children still need discipline. Your children still need structure. They need bedtime. They need consequences. They need rewards and incentives and bribery sometimes. But you still get to set those boundaries. Okay, no, we don't do this here. No, you can't hit your sister. No, mommy's having dinner right now. When I'm done, I will attend to you. Obviously, if it's not an emergency. From as young as 18 months, if my children wanted something that wasn't emergent, like, okay, you didn't fall and hit your head or something like that. An emergency is an emergency. But when I'm eating, I don't get up to do, mommy is eating. I tell them, mommy is eating. Because I had a friend who developed ulcers from just, you know, anytime the child needed something, she would drop her food and then she would go and then do something and then forget to eat. Yes, forget to eat for, you know, oh, I have to do that. Okay, food, put food to the wayside. No. When you start to set boundaries with your children learn that you are your own person and not an extension of them. And they start to learn to be their own person as well. Mommy's eating. I'll be with you shortly. Mommy, can you come and play with me now? Mommy is eating and I'll be with you shortly. Another thing too is that I hate cold food. So I'm the kind of person that if I start eating and gets cold, I might even just drop the food and go away, you know. So, you know, parenting out of guilt, which I mentioned in my first point, it can make you not set boundaries with your children because of this guilt that you feel and things of that nature. Be careful. Still set boundaries. You need your own time as well. Number four, you stop taking care of yourself. If you don't take care of yourself, you will be miserable. Your hair, your nails, you know, your looks, your clothes, your health. Maybe you want to be a certain goal weight. Maybe you want to have a certain look. You want to look a certain way and be a certain way. Maybe you want to have regular massages because you drive an hour away to work and your leg is now having muscle spasms because you haven't had a massage in 6 months. You see, there are certain things that, and this statement is going to annoy a lot of people. There are certain things that are luxury for some, but survival for others. If you have to drive an hour to work and an hour back home, you need massages, because that leg, that driving leg, and I've been there. Ooh. It's like, why is my leg throbbing? Like months on end. Like, what is going on? One massage. And it's like, yeah, the therapist is like, ooh, do you drive a lot? I'm like, how do you know? So it comes to a point where even having something like a regular massage is not a luxury, it's a necessity. This is just an example. And you can think of so many things. Sometimes maybe going to do your hair, it might be the time you might have a break to like read a book or something. It's become survival. And if you don't take care of yourself, you will be miserable. And now when I say take care of yourself, I mean consistently. Not this performative self-care that people talk about. Self-care. What do you do for self-care? One day somebody asked that question in a group. What do you all do for self-care? We forget about that. So I said, number one, I don't forget about myself. Number two, what means self-care to you? Some people like massages. Some people hate them. Some people don't like somebody else touching them. Some people like spa days. Some people think, ugh, I got to get in this hot tub that other people have been in. Ugh. Take care of yourself. So I'm not talking about performative self-care. I'm talking about taking care of you as a human being. If you had a machine, if you have a car, you take care of it. The machine. So the machine, the main machine that's running your life, you're not going to take care of that. Make it make sense. You cannot, you know, self-neglect doesn't make you a better doctor, and it definitely doesn't make you a better parent. Take care of your mind. See a therapist. Get a coach. Read books. If you're into fiction books, read those. It's a form of relaxation. Get personal development books. Take care of yourself, because that's the only self you have. If that breaks, it's not like another one that you can just replace it with. Does that make sense? If you stopped taking care of yourself, start doing one thing every day that's good, that is for you, that takes care of you. That might even be just getting up 15 minutes earlier in the morning before everyone and having a cup of tea. It might be as simple as that to start. Take care of yourself. That cannot be overemphasized. And I think maybe it should have been my point one. Last but not the least, physician mom. You don't outsource. So, you get up every day. You go to the hospital, right? In a hospital, when you get there, or a clinic, whatever. In a hospital, when you get there, you have a front desk staff who checks in the patients. You have people who transport the patients to different places. You have nurses. You have pharmacists. You have, radiology technicians. You have ultrasound technicians. You have, people that clean. You, the doctor, doesn't do all that at work, all right? It's such a bad grammar. You, the doctor, don't do all that at work. Why do you think that you're going to come home and all of a sudden, all these tasks, you are going to do them? So you are the one that's going to cook. You are the one that's going to clean. You're the one that's going to take care of the children. You're the one that's going to manage the whole family schedule. You are the one that, there's only one of you. If you went to work tomorrow and your boss said to you, know what, you're the one that's going to check in the patient, you're the one that's going to take the vitals, you're the one that's going to draw the blood, you're the one that's going to take the patient to the back to do the x-ray, you're the one that's even going to do the x-ray on the patient, and after you do the x-ray, you're going to bring the patient back. If the patient soils themselves, you're the one that's going to clean the patient. You will look at your boss and say to your boss, you are a madman, leave me alone, I'm going back home. And now you get home and you fall into the American middle class DIY that's killing you slowly. Death by 1,000 toilet brushes. You wash the toilet, you do everything. Outsource. It's like, I can't afford it. Okay. And then when people tell me I can't afford it, I will say, okay, have you thought of hiring a cleaner or a laundry service or a cook? And the first thing they tell me is, I can't afford it. And then I ask them the question, well, okay, how much is it? And they look at me as this person said in Black Panther, like an antelope in their headlights. They look at me like, huh? So how do you know you can't afford something if you don't know how much it is? Huh? Y'all crack me up. You need to outsource. I know people who have hundreds of thousands of dollars in their 401k, and they will not hire somebody for a couple of $100 to clean their house. They will not hire a nanny to help for I call this the evening rush hour, because you get home, you have to make dinner, you have to prepare for you. If you had a nanny or a babysitter to come to your house between 5 and 9 or whatever, help you make dinner for the kids, etc., you know, help you, it's a bath, whatever evening routine. And then all you have to do, you sit down, you eat dinner, and maybe you read your books to your kids, you are relaxed. And you have hundreds of thousands of dollars in your 401k. If you kill yourself with stress, you will not live to spend that 401k. So it's not like, this is not a case of having the money or not having the money. You know, it's about creatively outsourcing. Now, maybe you can't outsource everything, but sometimes if you outsource one thing and get one thing off your plate, that will free up your mind and you will be less miserable. So maybe you can't get a chef, but maybe you can get someone to clean. Maybe you can get a laundry service. So they come, they pick up the laundry, they bring it back folded, no questions asked. You need to outsource like your life depends on it, because it does. It does. And then physicians burn out at a higher rate than male physicians. And it's a lot of times because they have so much to do at work and at home. So you go to work where you have all this support in form of nurses, pharmacists, technicians, blah, blah, blah. And then you come home and it's you doing everything. Think about that team approach. How, imagine if one doctor had to do everything for a patient. It would take you like maybe 8 hours to see one patient. It's inefficient use of a doctor's time. In the same way, it's inefficient use of a time for you to be doing death by 1,000 toilet brushes. Pay somebody to do that. Because whatever you're earning, you pay somebody less than that per hour. In fact, I tell people it's better for you to even pick up an extra shift to pay for those things than to do them yourself. The day I decided I was going to hire a cleaner, I was a resident. I had come home, and then we used to have one day off a week, and I had two small children. My first child was like 2 or something, and my second was a baby, something like that. So that Saturday I was cleaning, and you know, I was trying to get my 2-year-old to help me scrub the baseboards of the kitchen, in the kitchen. It's like, come help mommy, come do this. And then something just clicked. I was like, wait a minute. I could be spending time with this child, reading to her, playing with her. It was like the one sunny day we got in Chicago. I could be in the park and I'm doing this. No, I put it down. That day my husband came home. I said, we're hiring cleaners. He said, why? I said, because mama don't want to do it no more. Outsource. So I'm going to go back. 5 mistakes that physician moms make that are making you and keeping you miserable. 1, you parent out of guilt. No need to do that. 2, you see your job as taking you away from your children and you transmit that energy to them. Not only are you miserable, they're miserable too. 3, you don't set boundaries with your children because of this guilt that we talked about. 4, you stop taking care of yourself. And 5, you don't outsource. These things will keep you miserable, but there is an easy fix to each and every one of them. So I hope you've enjoyed this podcast video, wherever you're getting this from. And I will see you next time.